I have a couple of good images for the Holy Spirit. Literally flew in the door here during the First Communion on Friday. We had a bird fly in. We had trouble getting it out. The kids were in line. We got them all nice and quiet looking like angels, and here's this bird flitting around in there. It's very hard to keep control. I said, if you're the Holy Spirit, please leave. That's said to this bird, I mean. And, you know, and then 2 weeks ago, some bird came flying by here, and my eyes closed, missed the whole thing. Some of you may remember that. Or was it at the 8:15 Mass?
No, it was at 10:30.
What kind of bird was it?
A little one.
A little one? Maybe that was the Holy Spirit. You know, it's hard to get a handle on the Holy Spirit, but St. Paul tells us how we will recognize if the Spirit is at work in my life. What's coming out of my mouth? What are the fruits of my actions? And we all have to be trained to listen to the Spirit and put to death the this worldliness that leads to death, because our world without God, not enlightened by the fact that there is heaven, that God exists, that we're called to something higher, we tend toward what Paul calls the desire of the flesh. He's got this incredible list, and he's got three of these in the New Testament. This list says, he says, now, if you live by the Spirit, you won't be gratifying these desires. Immorality, impurity, lust, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, rivalry, jealousy, outbursts of fury, acts of selfishness, dissensions, factions, envy, drinking bouts, orgies, and things like this. I warn you that those who do these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Nobody does those things in heaven. Where do they do those things? Go to a movie this weekend. You'll find them in there. This is the plot from any movie, isn't it? And, you know, our world, the more they take God out of our society, the more like this our country's going to sound. Because this is the natural condition of human beings unenlightened by God. And they call themselves free, when in fact they're slaves to darkness. This is a description of hell. And we've all been there. There's not a person in this room that hasn't experienced one more of these things, sometimes on a regular basis. And the Spirit brings something very different. And this is how we can't see the Spirit, although occasionally birds come flying in and that sort of thing. But the Spirit is present where love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, the opposite of anger, and self-control are present. If we live by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's lead. So the question is, since in fact we live in a battle zone, if we don't realize we're in a battle zone, maybe we've caved into the enemy. You know, in other words, most of us have had a tendency to do this, or there's other lists of things that are not like God. And if I have a tendency toward acts of selfishness, for example, or saying things that are nasty, these kinds of things, which are from the dark side, they tend toward eternal death. Am I at war with those choices? How does God wish me to recognize the Spirit by looking at my life and seeing what the fruits are producing? But when we fall, we're not called to stay down, but to get up. If you fall, don't just sit there, but get up. I've got a couple weeks ago, I was walking down in Willamette Mission Park down here, about 6 miles north of here. It's a beautiful park. It's been stocked in all winter, ever since October, except for 1 or 2 weeks. It's been too flooded to go in the main way. You've got to go in the back way, down by the Wheatland Ferry. And there's a route I like to follow when I want to go do a power walk, but one of the areas in particular has been flooded ever since October. So I finally said, you know, it's about time, maybe I can get through there. So I went through there. It's a little area where the sidewalk with the bike path dips very low. And I got up there, and sure enough, it looked like looked like Lake Labish sitting there. You know, I didn't know how deep it was, and I thought, I am not going around and going back. I'm gonna follow this footpath that goes up. You've got these kind of steep slopes, and I'm going to kind of walk along the top here and get around this pile of water and mud that's in the middle of this thing. Yeah. It really worked. I got all the way up to the top of this. Right about here, here's the water down here, about a foot and a half. Guess what happened? The ground gave way underneath me, and I slid on my rear end right into that water. And I said, thanks a lot, Lord. He said, I warned you not to even come in here in the first place. See, I got up, and I was not happy with myself. And when I saw what my back end looked like, I thought, how am I going to get out of here? You know, but it did dry, and it flaked off, and I went right in the washing machine when I went home. And I thought about that, and I said, you know, I'd heard a talk about this where an analogy like this was used. And I've used it in classes sometimes. It's really an analogy of sin. I could have avoided the sin, if you will. This is a sin, an image of a sin, a big pile of water and mud that, you know, I had the thought that, yes, I can do this. I saw the skid marks where others had failed. I said, I'm going to be different. I'm going to get through this. I'm not going to go around. And, of course, I fell in. But I could have avoided it. Now, what happens when a person, a worldly, fleshly person, like St. Paul says, sees this mud? They jump in. They say, oh, look, good, a pile of mud. Let's go in there and enjoy ourselves. These are people for whom their lifestyle, and you know what I mean, this describes their life. This is what they are. They love it. Lust, impurity, hatred, selfish acts, outbursts of fury, occasions of envy, drinking bouts, orgies, and they live this way. They love it. They call it good, and they wouldn't even consider the other side. That side's boring. We're having a great time. Take your Holy Spirit and get out of here. That's the conscience. We love our mud, and they roll in it. They get up and they think, oh good, I'm covered with mud. That's a sinner who doesn't want to repent. It doesn't describe a godly life, and it doesn't lead to heaven. That's what St. Paul is talking about. Now here comes a good person, somebody who's really trying to live the spiritual life, but they need to learn, you know. They come up to that mud puddle and they see it there. My gosh, I'm going to try to avoid this thing, like me, and they slip in. What do? Oh my gosh, I fell again. Oh, I did this thing again. Oh my God, I'm such a bad person. Oh God, how could God forgive me again? I can't even look at myself. I can't pray. God isn't answering my prayers. I can't forgive myself. I'm covered with mud. I look in the mirror. Oh, look how bad I am. Look what a sinner I am. Oh, and we go on and on and on with this sort of thing. But no effort is being made to get out. They're just sitting there looking at themselves and feeling worse and worse. The Holy Spirit wants them to get out and get going. The longer we dwell on our sins rather than acting on overcoming them or asking God's forgiveness, the longer we sit in the mud. That's not what the Holy Spirit wants. We all fall into mud. How long do I stay in it? That's the key. Now you find a saint coming along here. Here comes a saint. He comes up where I did. What does a saint do? Walks around? You think he went back the way he came and didn't even go through there at all? That would have been the smart thing to do. I was too lazy to do that. I was filled with pride and said, I can get around this way. He walked around. Any other ideas? One person said, huh? Walked on water? Well, all parents do that. At least till your children turn 10 or 11. Anything else? One person at the last mass said they flew over. St. Joseph of Cupertino used to fly. They had just have to hold him down in the choir. Anyway. You know what? I bet you a lot of times saints do avoid them because they know that if they go near that puddle, they're going to fall in. It's not that they can get around the puddle is that they avoid the occasion of sin. If they find that they've, despite what they know, I know if I go to that movie, if I hit that internet site, I'm going to fall into pornography. If I go there anyway, don't be surprised at the outcome, because you're just kidding yourself. You know perfectly well what the outcome is going to be. A saint will say, I have this problem. It didn't go away. The saint just learns to avoid it and give it to God. This is what God is trying to teach us. I know that if I'm with these relatives, I got to be on my guard, because I'm going to start yelling and arguing with them at this barbecue this weekend, assuming that the weather improves. So a saint falls in the mud. Occasionally you see those skid marks. They're not a canonized saint that didn't. What does he do? He stands up. He says, I'm sorry, Lord. I'll try to learn from this. Please forgive me. And he goes on. That's a saint. Doesn't dwell in the mud and doesn't stay there. Just acknowledges that he fell. And he gets up and goes on. This glorifies God. We learn. We go on. We keep going. And so our life is this constant battle between what the Spirit brings and what our natural tendency toward the earth brings. And we're given a lifetime to learn to make these choices. And in this battleground, the Spirit comes to our assistance. You know, those who were confirmed on Friday, confirmation is not magic. We have to have a relationship with God, and the Holy Spirit will begin to speak to us more and more often. What are the fruits of my actions? What consequences did this lead to? When I did this, I felt a lot of dispeace afterward. And that's the Spirit telling us this is the wrong path. So we grow in knowledge of God. So in the midst of our life's journey, the Holy Spirit is with us constantly to guide us to heaven. We can grieve Him. And if we have a very grievous sin, you notice that in these readings, when the Holy Spirit comes, when Jesus prays over the apostles, they've just committed this horrible sin of abandoning the Lord in His greatest hour of need. One of them killed themselves. And Jesus comes in and says, peace be with you. I forgive you. That's what that means. He says, now I'm giving you the power to forgive sins, He tells the church. Who sins you forgive are forgiven. He's saying this to ministers, His apostles, who are sinners. Nobody in the church is perfect. He says, you are going to receive the power to forgive sin, and when you unbind it on earth, I'm going to unbind it in heaven. You committed a mortal sin, a very grievous sin. We go to reconciliation, we get up, we go on. Don't sit there for year after year thinking about, maybe I'll go, maybe I won't. Just break it. And we go to war against these choices so we don't keep repeating the same thing. So our Lord then calls us then, if we fall into the mud, don't just sit there, get up. Don't just sit there, get up.